This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show, which is the final word in small business. For those keeping track, this one is show number 393. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. Well, the biggest three issues on the mind of every small business owner during this election year are mandatory health care for their employees, new minimum wage rules, and new federal overtime laws. We're going to discuss what are the successful strategies that you can implement as a small business owner. Plus, what if after you graduate, instead of going to get a job, you buy a franchise as your first company? One of my guests today did just that and built one of the most successful franchises right here in Chicago. Plus, a lot of small business owners don't share financial information with their spouse. We'll talk today how this can come back and actually bite you and what you should do instead. Plus, you know, printers are cheap and ink is expensive. What is a small business owner to do? But first, Shark Tank is one of the most popular small business reality TV shows out there. My next guest has written two books about Shark Tank. Michael Parrish Dudell is an entrepreneur, keynote speaker, and best-selling author of Shark Tank, Jumpstart Your Business, and Shark Tank, Secrets to Success, the official books of ABC's hit show. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, Barry, thanks so much for having me.
We've had all the sharks in the show except Mr. Wonderful. I don't know why he won't come on.
He's a good guy. He's just very busy, I'm sure.
I'm just too busy to come on the show. So tell us about your new book, Shark Tank Secrets, and why there had to be a second book about Shark Tank.
Yeah, well, the first book was all about how to start a company. So basically, I used case studies from the shows, some of the most successful entrepreneurs, the sharks' advice, combined it all into a book about really how to start a company from the very beginning all the way through sort of building it and growing it and even selling it. And people really loved the book. So the second book was taking it a step further. I went on the road and followed nine of some of the most successful entrepreneurs and really detailed how they built their entire business from ground up. So even going as far back as childhood and their teenage years, how they got interested in business, and from all the ups and downs, the failures and successes, how they came out today as winners.
It's interesting because actually our first guest on the show 7 years ago was a gentleman named Scott Jordan. He was on Shark Tank from Scotty Vest. So
we definitely
have that. He was I would say that he was one of the highlights of the show. He actually wrote a whole secret chapter on it. So why do you think, first of all, Shark Tank is such a popular show on TV?
Yeah, you know, it took a while. It took about four seasons for them to really gain the popularity that they have now and to build it up. And I think it really just sort of highlights what's happening in society, what's happening in culture. You know, technology has really leveled the playing field and allowed more people access to information, access to opportunity. And more than ever, people are interested in being entrepreneurs, are interested in really going out there and building a small business of their own. And I think when they see the shows on Shark Tank, I think when they see the entrepreneurs and they can actually get an inside glimpse into some of the sort of mental gymnastics that happen in the tank and how to defend their business, they get really excited, really motivated, and it inspires them to go out on a limb and start their own thing.
Yeah, I think they get a good glimpse, but we also have to remember, Michael, that is reality TV, right?
Of course. There's always going to be some production to it.
Right.
But a lot of people who maybe have never started a company don't have any access at all to those kind of people, those kind of ideas. And by getting a glimpse into that world, it inspires them to do their thing and to at least go out there and try something.
Now, I got to tell you, my favorite shark is Barbara Cochran, because not only has she been on the show a couple times here, I've actually been on television shows with her, and I think she is fantastic.
Yeah, she really knows what she's doing. Actually, for the first book launch in November of 2013, she was kind enough to come out, do a little bit of speaking. She and I did some stuff at the event, and she's always been really gracious and just talk about a smart woman who really, really understands how to build a brand and how to build a business. She's fantastic.
All right, so my favorite shark story is in the early 2000s. I actually opened for Mark Cuban. Someone got the bright idea that when the when his basketball team came to Atlanta, that they were going to do a business conference before the basketball game actually started. So they filled the stadium, and I was the opening speaker, and then I got to interview him on stage. So I got 12 minutes to actually kick it off, and they said, all right, now here, there's 20,000 people in the audience, and we're going to before Mark Cuban comes up, we're going to introduce Barry Maltz. He's going to talk about how to get small business unstuck. And then everyone started talking, and I felt like a warm-up band where no one was listening. But Mark was very, very gracious about the whole thing. So tell us about your favorite shark success story.
Oh, God, there's so many. You know, one of the companies that I really love is Wicked Good Cupcakes. And they were sort of one of those legacy companies from the early season. I think they were probably on season maybe 4 or so. And they got a deal with Mr. Wonderful, Kevin. And I think it's just a really great story of a family business that when they started the company, which is a bakery that bakes cupcakes into these jars, it's a really unique brand, they didn't plan on starting the business. It sort of happened organically. They got a little bit of media attention because one day the TSA actually confiscated a cupcake that was being taken.
Of course, very dangerous.
Right. And they declared it sort of this national dangerous object that you can't take on a plane. And that gave them this storm of media attention. And they were able to leverage that and build a really unique brand. It's been so successful. They're continuing to grow. They're actually the only company that's in the first and second book. And I just love their story. I love that a family can get together and build a really profitable, exciting, and unique business.
So what have you found since you've really been very close to Shark Tank? What does it take to be successful in getting funding from one of the sharks?
Yeah, I mean, like any time that you're going to pitch an investor, you really have to understand who's behind the table. So not just, you know, who they are from their personalities and their brand, but also what kind of companies excite them, what kind of businesses are they really good at investing in. And you have to go in with a point of view. You know, I've seen a lot of people go in there and say, oh, I'll take a deal from anyone. And I'm not always sure that's the best idea. I think it's wise to go in the tank, have 2, maybe 3 sharks you're going after, and really tailor your pitch to them. It's just like anything. When you're starting a business, you have to know your target market. Same thing's true when you're walking in a room full of investors. You have to understand who you're going after. I think that's the best piece of advice I could give somebody. And, of course, to know your numbers and to understand your business.
And I think that's a really important point because I believe you just don't want to take money from anybody because they're going to be your partner. And, in fact, if you take from the wrong people, it could end up trashing your business, Michael, right?
That's exactly right. And in fact, when people go in there and they think of it as, oh, I need a handout, I need somebody to help me, I need the money, that's not the right way to approach it. If your business is solid, if you really believe in what you're doing, you're actually offering them an opportunity. It's an equal partnership. It's an equal thing. And so if you go in the room and you think, listen, I have something valuable, I believe in what I've built, and I'm going to offer them a deal that's going to make them a lot of money, it becomes a little bit more even of an exchange and I think a better investment for everyone.
We're talking with Michael Parrish-Dudell. He's an author of 2 books. The latest one is called Shark Tank Secrets to Success. So, Michael, in your experience after interviewing all these people and traveling around with them, what really makes for a successful entrepreneur?
I'll tell you what, there's one thing. There really is one thing that every single one of these people have in common, and it's the ability to be resilient. Because it doesn't matter how successful your business is today, it doesn't matter how successful your business was yesterday, all of these entrepreneurs hit incredible roadblocks. I'm talking massive, massive roadblocks. And the one thing that separates those that continue, those that achieve, those that evolve, from those that don't move forward, that backslide, is the ability to really foster a strong resilience and the ability to get back up, get back on the horse, and keep going. And actually, speaking of Barbara Corcoran, we talked a lot about this, and she said, you know, I think it's so important that people, when they fall off the horse, they get back on right away. And I think that is important, but I think there's another piece. And the other piece is how you interpret the fail, how you interpret the fall off the horse, and what your attitude is when you get back on. Because if you look at it as being defeated, it doesn't matter how quickly you get back on that horse. You're not going to ride very far before it happens again. But if you look at it as a value add, you look at it as this is going to make me better in the future. Every single time, you're going to learn, you're going to improve, and you're going to build more.
Yeah, and look, we had Robert Herjavec on the show, and I said to him, you know, you lost the Dancing with the Stars. We actually won because you found a bride.
Exactly right. You never know what's right in front of you. The only thing you can do is you can buckle down, you can be resilient, you can keep moving forward, and you recognize that failure is a very important part of success. We hate to hear it, but it's the truth. Without failure, you can't have success.
Now, what's really interesting is that the title of my second book was supposed to be called The Resiliency Spring, but the publishers rejected it. But I think that being resilient is really key. Anybody can be a great captain during good times. The question is, how do you bounce back when things go off the rails, right?
Yeah, and things will go off the rails. And a lot of the times, it's not within your control. You know, as business owners, as entrepreneurs, we like to think that we have control over everything. The fact of the matter is that we do not. We don't know what's happening in the economy. We don't know what's happening around us. We don't know what's happening with our team all of the time. And no matter what is thrown our way, we have to be resilient. That is the key to good leadership, is to being able to go with the punches and to be able to turn it into a success down the line. So I can't express enough how much resilience is really the through line through all the books and all the stories.
So what's your last piece of advice for people that are thinking of starting a business for the very first time?
Stop thinking about starting a business and just start doing something. I talk to so many people around the country that are thinking about it, that are strategizing, that are brainstorming, that are writing business plans. All of that is good. All of that is important. But most of the time, people are doing that because they're really just afraid of starting. And when you start, even if it's not where you end up, just starting, just moving, just taking action is the way to actually see it through. So stop thinking about doing it. Make an ambitious goal and start right now. Start.
That's right. Back away from the computer and just go out and find some customers. Michael, thanks so much for being on the show. You can find Michael at michaelparishdudell.com. Michael, thanks again.
Thanks for having me, Barry.
Coming up, this is an election year. If you didn't notice, we're going to talk about the three biggest worries facing a small business. This is AM 560. It's The Answer.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBadges with a look at your roadways. The Edens and the Kennedy are moving along at a really good pace. We're seeing a lot of brake lights on the outbound side of the Eisenhower. Traffic down to just one lane from Des Plaines Avenue out to 5th Avenue until 8 a.m. That's for overnight road work. 18 minutes to Mannheim and 32 on out to Thorndale. Coming inbound, the eastbound Thorndale exit closed until 8 a.m. On the Stevenson, there's road work, but no delays as a result of it. The Dan Ryan is 15 minutes on either side between 95th and the Burn Circle Interchange. I-57 and the Bishop Ford wide open, so is Lakeshore Drive. All lanes are blocked east on the 390 tollway between Meacham and the I-290 for overnight road work until 8 a.m. Use Irving Park Road as your alternate. Today, partly cloudy skies and a high near 80. Currently, partly cloudy and 77 downtown Chicago. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You know, the world didn't stop while you slept. Get the first look at what's happening around the world and here at home.
Scene of a plane crash in the remote French Alps.
With Don't This Morning there. With Gordon
Bruce
Deal.
Told CNN that he will follow the text of the law.
It's the breaking news and business information you'll need to start your day.
Here now with a look at some of the stories we're following.
Each weekday morning, starting at 4, right before Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy at 5 on AM 560. The Answer.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@maltz.com. That's barry@maltz.com.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Maltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Maltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Ah, the sounds of summer from your very own pool and spa is brought to you by All Seasons Pool Spas and Outdoor Living. All Seasons Pools and Spas begins from the ground up with creative custom design, expert pool construction and hardscaping, and then finishes with complete maintenance and care, leaving you to enjoy the of summer. As you soak up the sun poolside, imagine a fire pit, outdoor kitchen, or pergola. All Seasons Pool and Spa will turn your boring backyard into a vacation paradise. No need to go off the deep end. Relax knowing that for over 60 years, All Seasons Pools and Spas has been making a splash in your neighborhood. Visit their showroom and store for a complete selection of pool, spa, robotic pool cleaners, and premium barbecue and grill islands. A trained staff is on hand to provide water testing, salt and chlorine products, and advice for servicing your pool. All Seasons Pool and Spa and Outdoor Living. 135th Street in Orland Park or resortlivingathome.com. That's resortlivingathome.com.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, now that all the dust has settled from the political conventions, the three hot topics still on the mind of every small business owner in this election are mandatory health care for their employees, the new federal overtime rules, and new minimum wage standards. Here to discuss it is John Swansiger, who is the CEO of Manta, which helps small business owners find new customers. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Barry.
So talk a little bit about about the new overtime rules, because a lot of small business owners, unfortunately, don't pay a lot of attention to what the federal government is telling them.
It's true. You know, it's interesting that the overtime rules are changing effective December 1st of this year. But it's really the first time in, you know, since the 70s that we've seen any major change. And what's happening really is any employee who is exempt now, it used to be if they were paid, over $23,000, that they didn't have to, if they met certain qualifications, that they didn't have to be paid overtime wages. Well, now that is actually doubling, a little over doubling to a little over $47,000. What we found at Manta, based on our surveys, are only a little over, a little less than half of all small business owners even are aware of this change, which is obviously concerning. And so there's a lot that the small business owner has to do to kind of get ready for this, including just making sure they know who qualifies to be an exempt employee and how that works going forward.
Yeah, so detail that a little bit. So now if you're making $47,000 or less, you're entitled to overtime even if you are an exempt employee?
That's correct. So it used to be if you made under $23,000, even if you were exempt, you could be eligible for overtime wages. Now, with that change, exactly as you said, if you're making $43,000 and you're exempt, before you had nothing to worry about as an employer. They were definitely based on if they're in an exempt classification, you didn't have to worry about overtime wages. Now that all changes, and what has to happen is even if they're exempt and salaried, you would have to, they could be eligible for overtime wages and you'd have to pay them time and a half. And so for the business owner, they now have to know who's in that classification, figure out if they're going to be in that middle range and stay there between, you know, under 47,000 basically, track their time, if they go over a 40-hour work week, you know, pay them time and a half, or most importantly, they can make some changes proactively as a small business owner to either change the wage or classification of that worker or bring in something like, you know, a contractor or part-time workers to avoid an overtime scenario. So those are all things that the small business owner now has to consider.
And John, this is not something that a small business owner can really ignore, because if they do ignore and then someone complains that they get caught, this could cost them a lot of money.
Correct. It's a compliance issue. And it has two major parts that could definitely hit the small business owner in the pocketbook. The first one is exactly as you said. If they're not in compliance, there is a fine, you know, for each instance that the small business owner isn't doing this correctly. The second really is twofold. One is you have to pay back wages if you're actually caught being out of compliance. And then there's a huge legal risk associated with this, which in many cases the legal fees would be larger than the back pay. And if an employee wins a case against an employer, the employer is liable for the legal fees. So it's a serious change that's happening, and it is, you know, there is a large compliance issue that's going to really be something a small business owner has to be aware of and submit.
Yeah, I have a client who was in a similar situation, and they found that they didn't pay $500, but the penalty ended up being $15,000.
Exactly.
So it's quite a lot. We're talking with John Swansiger. He's the CEO of Manta. John, let's talk about the other financial side of the equation, which is more and more states are passing new minimum wage laws. How do you think this is going to affect small business owners?
It's interesting. You know, California and New York leading the way with the $15 minimum wage. And you know, we did a survey, several surveys, but the one that jumped out for us of our small business community, which, you know, we have about 2.5 million members, is a little over half actually support an increase in minimum wage, 51%. And then half of that group actually was in favor of a $15 wage, which we thought was higher than we expected. But what we found is, you know, the great majority of our small business owners in our community, in many cases, are already paying higher than the minimum wage. And they've done this because they realize what, you know, large companies also know, but probably haven't given the small business owner credit for, is you get a workforce that is more dedicated, more loyal, you retain them longer, so you don't have to worry about hiring as much. But it definitely is something that is on the mind of most small business owners. It's kind of this, you know, triple whammy effect here between the overtime regulations, the minimum wage changes, and the ACA, and those are all happening. Depending on the state, you know, they're different timing on these, and they're staged. But the thing that a small business owner has to be aware of is the increases are very likely to happen in some fashion in their state.
Exactly. And I really believe, as far as the minimum wage comes, we've got to look at it, and I've been a small business owner, from a holistic standpoint, because if we don't pay people livable wages, then they go on welfare, and the government has to give them part of the wage, which supplements the profit of the company, and in the end, we end up paying for it anyways.
That's right. Oh, and also, if you're giving a living wage to your employees, in many cases, and I'm sure you've seen this as a small business owner, they're spending that money on other small businesses in your community, so it comes back into the community. So it does have a good cycle for the small business community in general.
We're talking to John Swinsiger. He is the CEO of Manta. Now, you mentioned the last part of this trifecta for small business owner costs, and that's really ACA health care for their employees. Talk about what new things are coming into effect.
So the big change is now if you're a 50 person threshold, if you have 50 or more employees, you have to offer some level of health care, where it was 100 last year and it kind of staged. So that in and of itself is also a compliance thing. You have to be in compliance as an employer. There are ways that you can manage this. If you're close to the 50 threshold, you can choose to not have full-time employees and do 1099 or contract workers. But the biggest thing that we're seeing from our community is just the uncertainty around this one, due to kind of both political parties having very differing views on ACA/Obamacare. The Republicans have been very open about they want to repeal it, and they plan to if they get elected into office. And on the Democratic side, they're saying, well, we're gonna go even deeper into ACA and kind of expand it. So this is probably the largest confusion point in terms of a little bit of apathy for the small business owner, because they feel like it's going to change dramatically one way or the other, but potentially in polar opposite directions. And they still have a compliance issue right now if they're a 50-plus person company. So that's what we're seeing in our community.
And, John, what's the penalty if they don't supply health insurance for their employees?
So I would defer. We have a lot of materials on Manta.com where you can read, explicitly what kind of financial penalties you'll be exposed to. There are penalties around compliance. But I think the bigger question is for how long and how do those change over time?
Right, exactly. So depending on which administration gets in, it could go one way or the other. So some small business owners say, well, I'm not really going to do anything about it because I think it's really going to change.
That's what we're seeing, and even calls to sort of tax amnesties and things like that, which haven't been really mentioned at all, but there's a little bit of hope in there. There's just uncertainty around what is going to happen around ACA.
Right. And so all three of these things together, from your surveys at Manta, what are you finding the view of the small business owner is for the future?
The theme in general that I'll go back to for the small business owner is just let me run my business. I have enough to deal with day to day to just run my business, and don't make it more difficult for me. And kind of as a result, I don't want to get caught up in a lot of bureaucracy, red tape, kind of compliance issues that are going to really effectively and seriously change the way I do business day to day. But it gets back to that just uncertainty that we keep seeing. They're surprised by things like the overtime rules, right? That are major changes to their business, and so the small business owner is just generally feeling like, look, you're hitting me with large change after large change, and really what I'm trying to do is everything that you're seeing both parties say when they come out, which is support the small business owner. Any of these changes are kind of counter to me running my business on a day-to-day basis. So just make it easier for me is the theme, if I had to kind of boil it down.
So, John, where can people go if they're not part of the Manta small business community? Because certainly there's a lot of benefits to that.
Yeah. So at Manta.com, M-A-N-T-A.com, we have a large content and educational site where you can learn kind of everything you'd want to about any of these issues, or if you're interested in things like online marketing or loans or kind of you name it. And then we have a learning academy as well, where the small business owners can take classes to actually kind of certify themselves, even if they're do-it-yourselfers, on these topics so they know what to do.
John, I got to cut you off there. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we're going to talk to one of the most successful franchise owners in Chicago. This is AM 560, The Answer.
Marxists, socialists, and communists forget the government doesn't have any money.
The Dave Ramsey Show.
Except money it took from someone who is producing money. Government creates no money. The only way the government has money is if it took it from one of us. And so the only way that it would have money to give these people is if it took more from the other people. Thus, Marxism, communism.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights starting at 7, presented by Wintrust Community Bank on AM 560. The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carmen Roberts. Turkish warplanes strike at the Kurds in northern Syria today. A monitoring group says bombs killed at least 35 people. And in the town of Aleppo, emergency crews say the Syrian government's targeting them.
Luring rescue workers to scenes of carnage caused by barrel bombs and then dropping a second on them has become a standard trick of the Assad regime and its Russian allies. It's known as the double tap in Aleppo.
Sky News reporter Sam Kiley. At the box office, it's a slow but scary weekend.
That's her guy.
Wait, is he blind?
We messed up to rob a blind guy, isn't it?
Just because he's blind don't mean he's insane, bro.
The horror thriller Don't Breathe grabs the top spot with an estimated $22 million. Suicide Squad slips to number 2. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBadges with a look at your traffic. The Edens and the Kennedy are both moving along at a really good pace. If you're traveling on the outbound side of the Eisenhower, struggling through the overnight road work, barricades have traffic down to just one lane. That's from Des Plaines Avenue on out to 5th Avenue, and that's until 8 a.m. Out to Mannheim, 18 minutes, 32 out to Thorndale. Coming inbound, the eastbound Thorndale Avenue exit is closed until 8 a.m. No delays on the Stevenson or the Dan Ryan I-57 and the Bishop Ford wide open. This report brought to you by Subway. Score Subway Restaurant's new Chicken Caesar Melt 6-inch meal with chips and a 21-ounce drink. It's just $6. Sandwiches prepared in front of you, limited time only at participating restaurants plus tax. Additional charge for extras. Partly cloudy today and a high near 80. Currently partly cloudy and 77 in Chicago. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMaltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
There are two kinds of pain, pain that goes away and the worst kind, chronic pain. If you suffer from chronic pain, life is not complete and it can be miserable. Unfortunately, most people use narcotics that mask the pain. You need to find the source of the chronic pain and get relief.
This is Dr. Ken Candido of Chicago Anesthesia Pain Specialists. We're serious players in the management of pain, and our team are national leaders, as well as being educators in the treatment of pain. We will work with you to diminish or eliminate your pain and help you get your life back. You know, there's a nationwide narcotics epidemic, and people are too quick to mask over chronic pain instead of looking for the cause and treating or eliminating the pain. Contact us. We will help you.
Go to MyPainChicago.com. Call and make an appointment with some of the best pain people in the nation, located here in Chicago. MyPainChicago.com. You or someone you know suffers in the suffering of chronic pain. MyPainChicago.com. Let's make you pain-free.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
So what's it like to be 22 years old and start a local franchise? Well, my next guest did just that. Dan Lenstad is the owner and operator of Sir Grout Chicago, a nationally awarded tile, grout, stone, and wood restoration company. Faced a decision on which route to take post-graduation from the University of Illinois, Dan parlayed the traditional corporate path of his peers and his family to launch his own Sir Grout franchise in Chicago at only 22 years old. Sir Grout is at the top-rated company on Angie's List in its category for the past 6 years and has earned the designation as Sir Grout's top revenue franchise for 5 consecutive years. Dan, I didn't know that grout could be so profitable.
Barry, thank you very much for having me on the show.
So it is profitable, right? So tell us about a lot of kids getting out of school. They have a problem. They're trying to decide, should they go to work for a company or should they start their own? What advice do you have given the transition that you went through?
Yeah, you know, in today's work world, I know that there's not the tenure that there's been in the past. My father had a long corporate career, and there's just not too many people who stay with the same company for an extended period of time. So my thoughts were I'd like to control my own destiny, and the hard work that I put in now will pay dividends down the road. So that was my thoughts going in, and so far so good about 10 years into business.
So wasn't that pretty scary? Because it seems to me it's a lot easier to go out and just get a job and kind of take a break from school.
Yeah, I'd almost say it was just not knowing any better at 22, but definitely some thoughts in my head about what if I screw up, what if I fail. But you know, it's one of those things where I said I'm going to go for it.
Right. I mean, if you screw up, and there's not much to lose, right?
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
And you know, there's a lot of people who start businesses with a family, with all sorts of commitments financially. And that was one of the benefits coming out of college is, you know, I didn't have a family. I didn't have kids. I didn't have bills to pay other than, you know, a few things here and there, thanks to my family supporting me through college. So it really was probably the easiest place for me to start a business other than not having that much money myself. So small business loans, some help from the family, but otherwise, yeah, I didn't think I had that much to lose.
So why go with a franchise rather than starting something from scratch?
Yeah, so again, I think being young, I had some business experience, had worked for a few different companies, but I did not have much of a structure to know what a corporation looks like, what a bit small business looks like. So the franchise model looked perfect for me. I also, as a summer job, worked for Sir Grout and was one of their technicians starting up early with their company for a couple of summers. So I knew that industry, I knew that business very well, and I thought if I liked to own a business down the road, I'd like to work in a business where I knew all assets of it or all different parts of it. So something where I've been a technician, where I've been a salesperson, where I've been the owner. That way I can help everyone along the way.
And I think this is an important point that I really want to highlight is that you just didn't go into this blind. You had actually worked inside another franchise first, right?
Yes. So Sir Grout Started in 2005 with two guys, one in Connecticut, one in New Jersey. And I was the gentleman in Connecticut, Tom Lindbergh. I was his second employee, if I remember correctly, as a summer job starting in probably 2006. So worked for him for a summer job just to pass some time, and liked his business, liked what he was doing, and thought I could do something similar. So we stayed in contact the next couple of years. And as it came time to graduate from college, I was interviewing in the corporate world and looking into this opportunity with Tom and my father at the same time.
So you're 22 years old. You decide you want to do a franchise. Where'd you get the money to actually fund this, and how much did it cost?
Yeah, so initial startup costs all in the first year with a truck, with equipment, with the franchise fees, probably were somewhere around $80,000. And I was able to finance some of it through a small business loan, and then also some support from my dad, my parents. So I was lucky to have that avenue. I have a good friend who did the same thing out of college and runs a franchise in Arizona, and he was able to start everything on a small business loan. So they are lending out there. This was 2008 when I started. I'm sure it's a little bit easier to get money now than after the debacle of 2008. It's starting to loosen back up again, but there's money out there if you find it.
So last question I had for you in the remaining 30 seconds we have, what challenges do you think that young entrepreneurs face today?
Yeah, so young entrepreneurs, you know, there's the biggest struggle for me is work-life balance. You know, it's always great to get out there and want to work as hard as you can, but at the end of the day, no one dies and says they wish they worked more. So having enough time for a family, having enough time for my wife, we're expecting our first child in September. So drawing up what that looks like for me as a business owner, as far as having a life and having time outside of business, I think that's one of the biggest struggles for entrepreneurs in general, especially young entrepreneurs.
Well, Dan, if you're having your first child, I think you should get off the phone and get some sleep.
Well, thank you very much, Barry. Appreciate you having me on the call.
And if you want to reach Dan, it's www.sirgrouchchicago.com. Coming up, as a small business owner, what should you tell your spouse about company finances? This is AM 560. The Answer. We'll be right back.
Get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBadges with a look at your roadways. Edens and Kennedy are both wide open. Now, if you're on the Eisenhower outbound, very heavy between Des Plaines Avenue and Fifth Avenue, with roadwork squeezing traffic into just one lane until 8 a.m. 18 minutes to Mannheim 31 on out to Thorndale. Stevenson looks good. So does the Dan Ryan and I-57 and the Bishop Ford on Lakeshore Drive north and south. Two left lanes are blocked between Hollywood and Randolph, and that's for the Chicago Triathlon. And then northbound, the Randolph exit closed until 4 o'clock today. If you're traveling east on the 390 tollway, all lanes remain blocked between Meacham and the I-290 until 8 a.m. for overnight construction. Use Irving Park as your alternate. Today, partly cloudy skies and a high near 80. Currently cloudy and 75 in Chicago. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications.
Get a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Moult and get a free copy of the book.
For decades, maybe even centuries, entrepreneurs have been recognized for being the biggest player in the industry. But no one recognizes the folks who have the courage to challenge industry norms. Well, that's what the Rule Breaker Awards is about. And you can vote for the biggest Rule Breaker right now. Go to RuleBreakerAwards.com. That's RuleBreakerAwards.com to vote for the entrepreneur you think is the biggest Rule Breaker. That's RuleBreakerAwards.com.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@maltz.com. That's barry@maltz.com.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, I'm unfortunately at an age where a lot of my married small business owner friends are actually getting divorced. A byproduct of this is that many times one of the spouses gets surprised by what the finances of their family really is. Here with tips on how to prevent this is Thomas Martin, who's the founder of Martin Investigative Services. Tom is the author of a book called If You Only Knew, which educates customers on how to conduct their own entry-level investigation, avoid scams and frauds. Thomas, it's been a long time. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Barry. Appreciate it.
I think this is a really big topic for couples because I know when I ran my own businesses, I didn't want to tell my wife every single day what was going on with the finances of my business, but it really can come back to bite you in the butt. You, in fact, call it financial infidelity.
Well, financial infidelity is a term that started a few years back, which means, you know, you're lying about buying golf clubs or taking a trip to Las Vegas. But the term has now evolved into what we call financial ignorance. And in my private investigator business, where we have five offices and 20-some investigators, we do a lot of marital surveillances. It's about 10% of our business. And 97% of the time, those end up in divorces.
And for good reason, because why would I hire you unless I thought something was going on?
Well, and when you pick up a phone or you send a text or an email to a private investigator, you usually have a problem on your hands.
Right.
And this problem has now, evolved from financial, financial infidelity to financial ignorance. And the vast majority of our clients, I would say about 70%, have not a clue about their spouses or their combined income, what they owe, what their debt is, what bankruptcies they might have, judgments, taxes, problems with the IRS. I mean, it's so sad. I mean, the woman will sit across from me and say, my house is worth $1 million. Well, your house is worth $1 million, but you owe $1.4 million. When is the last time you signed your tax returns? I have no idea. I've never signed the tax returns. Where is your savings account? I don't know. Who is your financial advisor for your trust? I don't know. Even in smaller cases where we have what we call the pots and pans, a three-year marriage where there's no kids and they're going to divide, one gets the pots and one gets the pans, they don't even know what pots and pans they have. I mean, it's very sad. And unfortunately, 80% of our clients are women. And once the men know the wheels are coming off the marriage, they start to dissipate what assets they do have. So it's a twofold slap on the back of the head. Is one, they don't know any of the assets, and what there is there, they're going to be long gone before a private investigator ever can find them.
Right, Thomas, and we can see how this happened. I mean, many of us have watched Woody Allen's movie Blue Jasmine, right? So we understand how this can happen. I would say this a little bit reflects of what goes on in my own home. What can the spouse actually do to protect themselves from this?
Well, I think the key thing is to sit down and have a conversation with your mate when there's not bad times and there's good times. So there's no hesitation to give you the honest answers and to be completely truthful. I mean, I would sit down and first of all, a good place to start would be your last year's tax returns. And on there, you will have everything about your home, about your mortgage. You will have your vehicles, because I'm sure he's going to write it off. And there's a list of all the things that are on there, where you're spending money, how you're spending money, what are you taking your tax write-offs. It'll be very easy to find out where your banks, where your savings, where your checking accounts are, because you're getting little interest, but at least you claim it on your taxes, hopefully. And then where are your stocks, bonds, and securities if you're fortunate enough to have that. So that's what I tell my clients, start making a record of that and keep that somewhere in your home where you'll have it. Maybe you'll never have to use it. That'd be great. And I even tell my clients to keep a copy in a safety deposit box so that it can't be destroyed.
You know, it's interesting because I can see how this happens, because I just tell my wife, hey, just sign the tax return. You don't have to worry about this because I'm too busy to explain to you. But when this happened, started happening to a lot of our friends where they were getting divorced and one of the spouses had no idea what was going on, well, I actually put it all together in one document and says, hey, honey, this is really what we have. And I think that's really the way to go, the way you're talking about it.
Well, I think that's an excellent point for your listeners. I often say to them, it's okay if you just, well, not blindly signing the tax returns, but at least know where you can get a copy of the tax return. At least know who your tax preparer is. If it's your husband, you definitely need to get that document, and you need to get it every year to keep current, so that at the end of the day, a 20-year marriage, and you're supposed to get alimony for 10, and the kids are going to get child support and maybe a college education. And all of a sudden, this is a guy who was making $100,000. Now he's only making zero or $10,000 a year. So it's very, very important. And, I mean, it's a life-changing event.
And, Thomas, this is really good for both people who are part of this couple, right? It's good for the husband and it's good for the wife. Or it's good for the wife and it's good for the husband to practice this kind of stuff, because surprises really can happen on both ends.
Well, that's also a good point. I mean, when I got hurt as a federal agent in 1981, so... And I started the business, the vast majority of the breadwinners were the men. And over the last decade or so, we have many, many, many clients where the female is the breadwinner and the male is kind of a stay-at-home dad or has a kind of a job on the side. So you bet if your listeners, men, are in that position, you best step up to the plate and make sure you have that information.
Well, Thomas, thanks for being on the show. Where can people get in touch with you?
MartinTI.com, MartinTI.com is our main website, and then our toll-free number is 800-577-1080.
Thomas, thanks for being back on the show.
Thank you, Barry. Bye.
Coming up next, printers are cheap, but ink is still really expensive. So what is a small business owner to do? Straight ahead, this is AM 560 The Answer. Be right back.
For decades, maybe even centuries, entrepreneurs have been recognized for being the biggest player in the industry. But no one recognizes the folks who have the courage to challenge industry norms. Well, that's what the Rule Breaker Awards is about. And you can vote for the biggest Rule Breaker right now. Go to RuleBreakerAwards.com. That's RuleBreakerAwards.com to vote for the entrepreneur you think is the biggest Rule Breaker. That's RuleBreakerAwards.com.
The biggest trap business owners face is that they are continually flip-flopping their time between working for customers and selling to find new business. As a result, when you are doing the work, the sales activity slows
to a crawl.
This double helix trap keeps businesses struggling for years. Learn the 7 strategies for breaking this trap. Contact Barry at barry@barrymoltz.com.
Check it out, it's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org, because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Okay, kids, the campfire's out. Let's hit the road.
Dad, the fire's not out. It's still smoking.
No, close enough.
Come on, Dad, do your homework. If it's too hot to touch, then it's too hot to leave.
I knew that.
You're never too young to get your smoky on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference.
Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, if you want to go out and buy a printer, it's pretty cheap, but then the ink becomes really expensive. So how does a small business owner figure out what to buy? Here to help is Tom Brown. He's a supply technology expert within the Inkjet and Graphics Business Organization for HP's Printing and Personal Systems Group. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Barry.
And so we've had this problem for a long time that printers are pretty inexpensive, but when it goes time to buy the ink, it becomes expensive. What advice do you have for small business owners and what they should do about that?
You know, I hear the comment all the time that ink is expensive, and I'm sure you've even seen comparisons to, like, you know, champagne or blood or something like that. But, you know, the reality is ink is a high technology. And, you know, typically I'm wearing my lab coat here, and I would explain to you over the next 4 hours the amazing technology. It basically defies physics on how it works. So there's a reason why it costs what it does. But something we've been developing lately at HP is more along the lines of how do we reduce the cost of printing without cutting corners? Because we could reduce the cost by making maybe a lower performing ink formulation or something like that. But we can't do that, right? You're expecting a certain level of performance. So this new program that we've came up with, it's called HP Instant Ink. And the simplest way to put it is for a low monthly cost, starting at $2.99, you can now have original high-quality HP ink delivered to your door before you run out at a low cost, like I said.
Well, this seems almost too good to be true. How does it work, actually?
You know, the easiest way to think about it is Netflix. Netflix for ink. I think people are all familiar with that. So for small businesses and even the home, there's basically three basic plans. And it starts at $2.99 for 50 pages per month, $4.99 for 100 pages per month, and then $9.99 for 300 pages per month. So probably the business would be 100 pages or 300 pages per month. And you simply would have a current HP printer, so either a new one or any HP printer that is what we call e-print capable, that's 1 or 2 years old, actually has this capability already built in. So you may not even have to buy a new printer. You could go online and see if your printer already has capability, and then you just sign up for the service with your credit card. It bills you monthly. And then the cool thing about this is that it really is the Internet of Things and the future of printing here. It took quite a bit of innovation to make this happen. But basically now the printer and the ink cartridges are smart. And when you're connected to the web, it will automatically then determine how much ink is remaining in your printer or supplies, and it will trigger a new shipment to arrive at your doorstep or office door before you actually run out. So you never really run out of ink, and it's still at a low cost.
I got to tell you, this seems like something that every small business owner needs, and it's one less thing to think about. Where can people learn more about this program, Tom?
At HP.com and the search for Instant Ink.
Tom, thanks so much for being on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And I want to thank all of you for joining this week's radio show. I want to thank our sponsors, Nextiva. I want to thank all our staff that helped put this radio show together, especially our booking producer, Sarah Schaffern, that lines up all the guests, our in-studio producer, Debbie Schreiner, which actually makes the show work, our marketing manager, Courtney Dury, which actually takes care of posting the entire show and listening to every single episode. If you're serious about getting your business unstuck, if you're serious about being more successful, if you're serious about actually making the money that you deserve in your small business, you got to give me a call on my private line, 773-837-8250, or you can email me at barry@moltz.com, M-O-L-T-Z.com. Isn't this the year that you finally move your business forward? Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymaltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
Global unrest.